Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Jeremy, and I'm here to talk to us about what we're doing later in the service. So please do sit down. And what we're thinking about later on in the service is, how do we get to heaven? And I wonder how many people think about this question. Maybe some people think, nah, heaven doesn't exist, but maybe I ought to believe it just in case. And I wonder if you went down your street and went to maybe three or four neighbours down the road and said to them, knock, 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 how do you think we get to heaven? What might they say? What happens if you ask your work colleagues or somebody in your class at school? Have a little talk to yourselves about what they might say, okay? Have a little talk about yourselves, what they may say, okay? Don't worry, there's no right or wrong answers. Right, okay. I'm guessing that some people, or quite a lot of people, will say we get to heaven by being good, or maybe going to church or a place of worship. Did anybody come up with any other ideas of what people might say? Go on, James. Right, that's a good answer. James is saying, when people die, they just think they float up automatically. I don't know how many people will remember this. Perhaps some of you older guys will remember. There was a famous, iconic song by Led Zeppelin in the 1970s called Stairway to Heaven. And it painted a picture of a rich lady thinking she could buy her way into heaven. And he said, nah, that's not going to work. Unfortunately, they didn't come up with any other ideas about how we get to heaven because the lyrics were a bit unclear. In our reading today, we're going to see a picture of a stairway or a ladder between us and heaven. And it's a curious passage, but one that can help us understand how we might get to heaven. It's how God speaks to us. Now, it's about somebody called Jacob, and the big people last week, we thought a little bit about Jacob, was thinking about him at the moment. And Jacob, for the younger people, older people remember this, I hope, he was a bit of a cheater. And he stitched up his brother called Esau about his inheritance with the help of his mother. And it was a bit of a crazy situation. And none of the family particularly came out well. His dad, he got confused. His mum helped Jacob cheat his brother and Isaac, his dad. And Esau, he was a bit soft. He gave away what was called his birthright. They were all a bit nuts, that family, and untrustworthy. And Jacob was a bit like this man here. You wouldn't want to buy a car from him. He was untrustworthy. But into this situation, God spoke to this dodgy character, Jacob. And a bit later in the service, we'll be looking at that in our service. I think Andy's now going to bring us some news.
Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. He came to a place and spent the night there because the sun had set. He found a stone there and laid his head on it to go to sleep. Jacob dreamed that there was a ladder resting on the earth and reaching up into heaven. And he saw angels of God going up and coming down the ladder. And then Jacob saw the Lord standing above the ladder. The Lord said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your grandfather, and I am the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are now sleeping. Your descendants will be as many as the dust of the earth. They will spread west and east, north and south. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. I am with you, and I will protect you everywhere you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep. He said, surely the Lord is in this place, but I did not know it. Jacob was afraid. He said, "This place frightens me. It is surely the house of God and the gate of heaven." Jacob rose early in the morning. He took the stone he had slept and set it up on its end. Then he poured olive oil on the top of it. At first, the name of that city was Luz, but Jacob named it Bethel. Then Jacob made a promise. He said, "I want God to be with me and protect me on this journey. I want God to give me food to eat and clothes to wear. Then I will be able to return in peace to my father's house. If the Lord does these things, he will be my God. This stone which I have set up on its end will be the house of God, and I will give God one tenth of all he gives me." This is the word of the Lord.
Please be seated. So in our reading, thank you, Abraham, for reading that to us. We see that Jacob was on a journey. But just wanted to recap who Jacob is, because his grandfather was Abraham. Not Abraham who read our reading. Oh, sorry there. But Abraham that we read in the Bible. And this is his family tree. So Abraham married Sarah, and they had a son called Isaac, and he married somebody called Rebekah, and they had two lovely sons. They had Esau on the left, and then there was dodgy Jacob. And it was Jacob who was on this journey to a place called Haran. So there we see. So you can see that's where Jacob's family lived, at the bottom there. And he was on this journey up to a place called Haran. And he hadn't got very far when he needed to have a sleep, and he encountered God in this dream. But to the point is, why was he going on this journey? Well, he wasn't going on holiday. He wasn't going to get a new job or to collect the latest top trump cards. He was running away from his brother Esau, because he'd been cheated, he was out to get his brother. In fact, it tells us he was going to kill him. Now, you don't hang around if your brother's going to kill him. And on top of that, his mother, Rebekah, also said to him, "You want to get out of here because he's chasing you. And also, you need to go and get yourself a wife. And the women around here are not the sort of women you want to marry. They've married Esau and they give me a load of grief. Go back to where my family lives and get a wife up there." So he's chasing off up to this place, Haran, and he's thinking, well, I don't know, what do you think he's thinking? I may never see my mum again. And what happens if Esau catches up with me? And I've got to go to this place that I can't even pronounce. Imagine you're going to a country, and I know some of you have, that's a long way away. You're not able to understand what people are saying. They eat funny food and they play stupid games. And all on top of this is Dad Isaac. I keep on banging on to him about having a blessed life, because that was what Abraham had promised. And you can imagine Jacob saying, "I'm on the run here. I've got to go and find a wife. I don't want to let my mum down." And my dad's saying to me, "You're going to have a fantastic life." Is he having a laugh? Me? I come from this dysfunctional, crazy family. I've cheated my brother. My life is in chaos. I've got nothing to suggest that I'm going to have a successful life. Why would God want to bless me? Why would God want to bless me? And I wonder if you've ever felt like that. Why would God want to bless me? Well, let's see what happens in our story. We're going to do a bit of a reenactment, so I need a volunteer. I'm looking for Bat Monk. Bat Monk, come here. Now, Bat Monk's going to be Jacob. Now, Jacob, the story tells us, you're running away from your family. I don't know if you ever have to run away from your sisters. I'd imagine you do sometimes, because I imagine you sort of tease them a little bit. And you're running away. And the thing is, you're running away. I know this is not really your colour, but you've got no overnight bag. So you need to have a bit of a kip. And the thing is, so you sit down there. You've got no PJs to wear. I don't know if these are the sort of PJs you wear, but you've got no PJs to wear. You've got no teddy bear to keep you, comfort you at night. You haven't even got your toothbrush and toothpaste to clean your teeth. That's bad, isn't it? By the way, make sure you brush your teeth every night. We'll let Jacob off. You haven't even got a nice Thomas the Tank Engine pillow to sleep on. But what you have got is a nice stone to stick your head on. So that's comfortable. So we need you to go off to sleep here. There you are, stick your head on that. Now, you might take your jumper off and stick it over the stone. So we'll let you do that. And you go off to sleep. And while you're sleeping, he's having this dream. And in this dream, he sees a ladder going up to heaven. Now, I'm sure you will have noticed this when you came into church this morning. And on this ladder are some angels going up and down. Now, we've got two there. That's not enough. So we'll stick some more on. And so these angels are going up and down this ladder. And at the top of the ladder, he sees God the Lord. And Jacob is having this dream. Bit of an odd dream it is, when he's running away from his brothers, he's running away from his family, his life's messed up. And in this dream, God speaks, Jacob, you're still asleep? You comfortable? You comfortable? No, good. And in this dream, this is what God says to him. He says, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, that's his granddad, and I am the God of Isaac, that's his dad. I will give you your descendants. Well, he hasn't got any descendants. I will give you your descendants the land on which you are now sleeping. Your descendants will be as many as the dust of the earth. There's going to be loads of them. They will spread west and east, north and south. They're going to get everywhere. And then it says, all the families on the earth will be blessed through you. Missed some words out there. Through you and your family. And he says this, I am with you and I will protect you everywhere you go. Even though he's uncomfortable, God says, I will protect you. And I will bring you back to this land. And I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Now, there's a lot of things in that promise. We haven't got really time to kind of go into everything. But there's a couple of things I just want to draw to your attention. One is, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham. And I am the God of Isaac. In other words, this is what God is saying. Jacob, you might be an idiot. You may be a cheat. You may have come from a crazy family. You maybe wonder what's going on in your life and think it's a mess. But I'll tell you something. You are still part of my plan. You are still part of my plan. The same plan I promised to Abraham, and the same plan I promised to Isaac. In other words, you can trust me. And God sticks to his promises, and he's not going to give up to us because someone fouls up. And we make a mess of things, don't we? We make a mess of our lives. And we can blame other people. Jacob could have blessed his mom, he could have blessed his brother, Jacob could have blamed his mom, could have blamed his brother and his dad for not sorting out all things out properly. But God still spoke and was with Jacob. And we call this graciousness. God is gracious to us because we don't always deserve these things. And he does it not because of us, but because God has a plan and he loves us and we are deserving. We are not deserving of God's attention, but he still is faithful to us and they can be trusted. But what is it that is God's plan? What is it that he promised to Abraham and Isaac? And now that he's promising to Jacob, you'll see it says here at the end there, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. All the families of the earth will be blessed through. And that includes us, because we're part of the families of the earth. Now we ask ourselves, who are the descendants of Abraham? Well, we can see that Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob. And the Bible tells us that one of the descendants of Jacob is Jesus. Imagine that, Jesus, in his ancestry, he's got this dodgy character called Jacob. There's a few other dodgy characters. But when Matthew writes about the story of Jesus' birth, he starts by saying, Jesus comes from the family of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So we got this ladder, and God is saying that the way that you are going to bless the earth is going to be through Jesus. You may have to wait a long time, but Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And so Jacob wakes up. You can wake up now. Did you have a nice sleep? Yeah, I did have a nice sleep. Pleased about that. Must have been that jumper on the stone. So Jacob wakes up, and the dream has been really, really vivid. Can you look scared? Yeah. The Bible tells us Jacob looked scared because he'd had this kind of really vivid dreams. Well, in a few moments, we're going to come back, and we're going to see how Jacob reacted to that dream. So thank you very much. I hope you have a better sleep tonight. Give him a clap. All right, please be seated. So we're thinking about Jacob, and he's having this dream, and he's seen this ladder. The top is the Lord, and the angels are going up and down. And so Jacob wakes up from his sleep, and as we had a good impression from Batmuck of looking frightened, that was how Jacob said, let's read what it says. So Jacob woke from his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. But I did not know it. And Jacob was afraid. He said, this place frightens me. It's surely the house of God and the gate of heaven. And then it says, Jacob rose early in the morning. He took the stone he'd been sleeping on. Here. Yeah. And it says he stuck it. Have I put that there? And he poured oil on it. And he called that place Luz, but Jacob named it Bethel. And Bethel just means house of God, because he recognized that this was God coming down to earth. Well, God didn't come, but he sent his messengers down to earth. It was a special place. And then Jacob made a promise. He said, I want God to be with me and protect me on this journey. I want God to give me food to eat and clothes to wear. then I will be able to return in peace to my father's house. If the Lord does these things, he will be my God. And this stone which I've set up will be the house of God. And I will give 1/10 of all he gives to me. So we see here that Jacob makes a decision. He's been listening and taking account of what God has been saying to him and the promises that he has made. He says, in effect, he says, you're going to go on this journey to Haran. You're going to find a wife, at least you think you will, and you will. And through that wife and you, I'm going to give you a massive, massive family. And it's going to cover the whole earth. And more than that, it's going to be a blessing to everybody. And remember this, that includes us. Jacob's life, rather than being chaotic, now has a purpose. He knows that he will come back in peace. It's not a chaotic dash to escape his brother or a blind gate with a nice girl from Haran. His life now has purpose that will result in everyone being blessed by Jesus. What Jacob does is he decides to follow God. That is what his decision is. He listens to God and says, I want to follow God, because he knows his life has been touched by God. And rather than just carry on and ignore God, he says, no, I want to follow God. Becomes aware of the awesome presence of God. And he uses the stone that has been sleeping on as a sign of God on earth. And he calls it the house of God, or Bethel. And God tells him that his descendants will spread the goodness of God to the four corners of the earth. And Jacob tells us, pours oil on the stone. You may think that's a bit weird to us. But it's a way of Jacob saying, this stone, this place, this meeting I've had with God is precious, and he wants it to affect the rest of his life. Every time he goes past this place, every time his family will go past this place, he will see this is where Jacob met God. This is where he decided to follow God and listen to him. This is where God was changing Jacob from being a cheat, from being a nutter, to being somebody that is important in God's plan for the world. And he trusts him for the rest of his journey. Now notice what he does. He commits to giving back a tenth of what he's given. And that's quite important, because first of all, he recognizes that he's only giving back to God what God's given to him. Sometimes we think that God things that we have in our life belong to us. They don't. They're given to us by God. And when we follow God, we give part of it back to him. That's why we give to the church and to other things as well in the Christian, in the work of Christian ministry. You know, we too may feel like Jacob. We've messed up. We just want to escape and be somewhere else. We're chased by our enemies, wherever they are. But as Jacob becomes aware of God's presence, as he sees God speaking to him and telling him that God is not going to give up to him, Jacob commits his life and wants to follow God's purposes. And we too can make that decision. We too have that decision to make. Do we want to follow and commit ourselves to God and find out what his purposes for our life is? Whether we're old or whether we're young, we have that decision to make. It's not always an easy decision to make, because people may laugh at us. People say, oh, you don't want to do that. You want to go and have a good time in your life. Have a good career. Don't be bothered about God. That's not what Jacob did. After he met God, he said, no, I want to follow God. So how do we get to heaven? What this dream is telling us and telling Jacob is that God is wanting to connect heaven and earth. That's what that ladder is about. That's why those angels were going up and down. because they were connecting earth to heaven. The ladder is a promise that we can reach heaven, and that Jesus, who was promised to Jacob, is the way that we get to heaven. Now notice that God didn't invite Jacob up the ladder, and Jacob didn't have a go. Now I had to be careful in asking children to come up here, because I know if I ask some children to come up here, they go straight up that ladder. And I know after the service, I'll be keeping an eye on James, because he'll be wanting to get up that ladder. So, but what's the message there? Why wasn't Jacob invited to go up this ladder? Well, in a way, it's because Jesus is the way we get up that ladder. Jesus hadn't come yet, but Jesus was promised. The way we get up that ladder between earth and heaven is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it's not dependent on us being cute or being good or being a good model citizen or going to church or being good. These are not the things that get us up the ladder. The things that get us up the ladder is Jesus Christ. And the passage reminds us that in a way the Bible is God's book to us. The Bible is like God's ladder for us. It contains God's promises to us and shows us who Jesus is. It speaks about the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who blessed the earth. And it tells us how God has blessed the earth through that family. Whoever we are, young or old, this story invites us to follow and trust in Jesus. This may not be easy, especially if we're young, but like Jacob, we can trust God, we can trust his graciousness, and we can trust in him to guide us and help us for the future. So I'm going to close in a prayer, asking God to help us, and then we'll continue to the final part of our service. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God who wants to invite us into heaven. We thank you for Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And we pray that you would help us to follow him day by day and help us to trust you like Jacob learned to trust you for his journey. Amen.